whether you want to
buy, buy, buy.
In a bear market or
sell, sell, sell
in a bull market. Jim Cramer can help you become a better investor. Mad Money, weeknights 6 Eastern. Listen to CNBC on the Odyssey app.
And good morning to you, Kansas City. 6 o'clock on the dot in my back top, in my drop spot, something like that. Was it an Usher song, I think? Back in my days when I was jamming out to Usher. You got it, man. All right, I'm done. Can't believe it's already Thursday. Feels like it's almost already done with January. It kind of is. It's January 9th.
Hey, we're moving. I mean, third of the month is over.
That's right. More snow in the forecast, so nothing new there.
Another 2 to 3 inches, they're saying, potentially.
Pretty sure Lee Summitt is out of school today. My buddy was telling me that last night when we got some dinner. He's like, I just need to get away for like a little bit. He's like, my wife gave me the okay. What are you guys doing tonight? I was like, nothing. Nothing on TV.
Yeah, there's nothing on TV.
So much that there's nothing. I watched the Chiefsaholic documentary on Amazon Prime. Cringe.
I just can't get myself to watch that. I just can't.
You can.
Guy's such a turd loser.
You can, and I think Matt can help you out with this. You need an extended overtime visit to the garage. Yeah, you definitely
got to be on something to watch this thing, huh?
Not only overtime, you need college overtime to the point where, like, you just go for it from the 2-yard line.
Like, yeah. I mean, 3 a.m. I'm still going. Chiefsaholic doc time. How much time did you waste watching that thing?
So it's 122 minutes.
Oh my God. Yeah. I'm out. Told me. I'm sorry. I know I'm 47, but I'm 27 inside, and I am not watching a 2-hour documentary on that turd loser.
At this point, I'm caviared out, no pun intended, but like, you watch it, and so like I'm looking, I'm like, oh, it's 1 hour and 22 minutes. Cool. No, 122 minutes, which means 2 hours and 2 minutes.
Oh God.
I stopped watching with 25 minutes left because obviously our show starts early, and I was like, doing the head nod. Yeah. I'm like, all right, but like, I guarantee you, Mac, tell me I'm wrong, or right. I guarantee you, you're gonna watch this and be like, that Bondsman guy is kind of a bag.
Absolutely.
I don't know what's going on with his hair. I don't know why he's. I mean, I get it. Bail Bondsmen are these type of guys, but like the main whole thing is like how crazy of a nut job this guy was as not only a fan but like as a person. You find out like has no father figure.
You're talking about Chiefsaholic or the Bondsman?
Well, yeah, the Chiefsaholic.
Yeah, like, loser.
Xavier Babadar, which it's funny, his name said like more time differently than Dave Tobe, Tob Tabe.
Right.
And like you watch it and you're just like, and I know this has been out for a little bit, but our boss comes into our meeting yesterday. He's like, have you guys watched it? We're like, no. He's like, it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
And I watched it. I was like, Steven.
Yeah, Steven. you don't take, let's be honest here. We're not taking his advice on movies and things.
Favorite movie of all time is Con Air.
No, it's not.
I don't think so. But it's top five.
Is it really?
Somewhere up
he
there.
He liked that Irishman movie that literally nobody liked. That's the last time I took his recommendation on a movie. That was like 17 hours long.
That was 422 minutes.
Oh, my God. I mean, that thing never ended. I was like, is this really interesting?
It was like AI, CGI. Oh,
it was terrible.
I was like, De Niro's eyes are that blue?
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, what? Like, damn, Bobby, like, what are we doing here?
And I tried to watch that thing, man, because Spectre's like, it's good. It really is. And I watched it. Like, I'm like, it didn't live up to the hype. I think it was one of those movies that everybody wanted to like, so they all said that they liked it, even though it wasn't that good, you know?
It was definitely 20 years done too late.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
And that might be just like
That's generous, you know?
Yeah. So, I mean, it was entertaining because you watch it and you're like, oh, man, this is about the Chiefs too. Like, this guy, like, you clearly find out that this guy is obsessed with, like, not just the Chiefs, but, like, Mahomes and Kelce.
Oh, good.
Like, they're his best.
Like, he's wearing their skin type thing?
Kind of, but, like,
cringe.
More so, like, they're his best friends.
Yeah, they're not, though.
How he watches games is, like, we all have that friend that, like, stands up the whole time, cusses and yells, and, like, at one point, I think he prays and cries, where I'm like, like, during the game when Philadelphia's up, which is like, I know you're not a true fan. Like, if the Chiefs are down 10, you should know they're going to win.
They're going to win. Right. Yeah,
so
right.
I'm like,
yeah.
Come on, man.
How much money did you have on that one where you were praying and crying?
And I would assume a lot of people in Kansas City have watched this. It's on Prime. 122 minutes.
So you just talked me right out of that one. How long? Nope.
Yeah, you need 90 minutes of the garage, and then you can watch it. But no, because I just wanted to, you know, he came into the office yesterday. He's like, you guys should watch this. And I was like, okay, I'll do it. I got nothing else on. Like, I mean, the KU game was okay. It was just late. I wasn't into it. Yeah, I just couldn't
watch
it.
They played last night? I was watching Cheers.
Well, nice.
Yeah.
No, they played Arizona State. And then, you know, there was a really good NBA game on, Thunder and Cavs.
Started watching a little bit of that.
Oh, it was great. Cavs have, what, 4 losses? Like, they're doing some sort of record pace here with Jared Allen and all those guys. But, again, that game was over, and I was like, okay, it's 8 o'clock. I have nothing else to do. I'm going to lay in bed and watch this documentary. Wish I would have.
Yeah.
But, again, you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. If you have watched the Chiefs Holic documentary, let us know, 913-586-7965. Also, Mr. Fesco is here with us every day, Monday through Friday. And when something comes out about the stadium, I turn my mic off and I turn it to Bob Fesco's. So as promised, I will do that. And Bob, you have a stadium update.
Yeah, we do have a little bit of a stadium update today, actually involving both of the organizations that call Kansas City home. And today is going to be, I don't want to use the term monumental day because that's overselling and whatnot, but today is going to be a day that I think Chiefs fans are going to start to realize, you know, what's taking place when it comes to the new stadium. Today there's going to be a group called CSL. Okay, CSL is the name of the group. They're conducting surveys and research for the Chiefs about, you know, what do you want to do, new stadium renovation. They're surveying fans. Today they're going to be sending out a press release, I think probably around 10 o'clock or something this morning, that CSL is now putting out a survey for a couple hundred thousand, you know, Kansas Cityans, Chiefs fans, however you want to say it, about, you know, the new stadium and the potential of renovating Arrowhead Stadium. It's going to be, from what I've been told, a very extensive survey. And, you know, everything's going to change based on if you're a season ticket holder, if you're a suite holder, if you're this, you're that, the other thing. It's going to take you through all these questions. Do you want this? Do you want that? Do you like this? Do you like that? And depending on how you answer is how it's going to take you. Obviously, we've all seen these surveys, to the next question. But today is also going to be a milestone day, if you will. And again, I hate using momentous milestone, all that kind of stuff, because I don't know that it is, but it's a big day because today is going to be the first day that you hear the term PSL talked about when it comes to a new stadium for the Kansas City Chiefs. And what a PSL is basically you, the individual, buying the right to the seat that you have at the stadium, and you own that seat. It's a one-time fee, and it carries you through life. You can will the seat to people. You can sell that seat to somebody. But at the beginning, it's going to be a one-time payment. And this is happening all around the NFL, whether it's a renovated stadium, whether it's a new stadium. Fans are being asked to pay for PSLs. How much, Bob, is a PSL going to cost me? The average PSL right now of the two stadiums that are being built in Buffalo and Nashville is somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000. And that's per seat, that's a one-time fee, and then that seat is yours. And you own that seat for every single event that takes place in that stadium. So if the Chiefs were to build a new dome stadium and you own a seat license, a PSL inside that stadium, and they host the Super Bowl, the Final Four, playoff, whatever event, concerts, it doesn't matter. Whatever event is taking place in that stadium, you own the right to purchase the ticket to that event. They can't tell you, oh, we're selling your seat to somebody else or something like that, because it is a PSL. You paid for that. You have the right now for that seat for every event that's going to take place inside a new stadium, if that is the direction that the Kansas City Chiefs and you know, the state of Kansas or the state of Missouri, if that's the direction they decide to go, is a brand new stadium, then that PSL thing will be a big topic, but you will own every event, basically, that takes place there, plus the cost of tickets to be put on that. But that's the concept of what they do now in the National Football League. So today is the first day that you're going to hear that PSL, and I know that probably aggravates a lot of fans. They look at it as another investment into the team. I've talked to some season ticket holders privately about PSLs. I was surprised I didn't get pushback from them. And I'm just talking about like every average day Joes. I'm not talking about suite holders or the richest guy in the stadium or anything like that. Just average dudes that have season tickets. There wasn't pushback from the people that I talked to about this. But I will say I'm sure there will be pushback, and rightfully so. It's another cost that could potentially be added on. But again, this is the cost of having that NFL franchise here in Kansas City. And it's not like the Chiefs are unique at it. Again, everybody's doing it. Buffalo and Nashville, the two newest stadiums coming on the block, their average PSL is somewhere between $4,000 and $10,000 one-time fee. And a lot of these places break it up for you over time as well, so you don't have to pay for it all up front. So I'm sure they'll work with you on something like that. And then I heard from two sources yesterday as well. The Royals are getting closer and closer to finalizing a Johnson County site.
Really?
Yep.
Okay. So kind of like in the area that you were talking about?
Yeah, you know, the 119th Spring Campus area, and then there's that area at 435 in Antioch, which I don't really know that that's in play. I still think it's the Spring Campus where it's going to be, but I've heard they're getting closer to getting that deal done. Again, nothing is done. Obviously, as we know, this process has taken way too long, but they're trying to dot every I and cross every T and make sure they have it right. I mean, because both of these organizations are getting ready to make significant, significant decisions for the future of their ball club and for the future of Kansas City.
So quickly, with the PSL, the seat that you own, right? Mm-hmm. You still have to pay the price of what event that would
absolutely
be.
Absolutely.
Okay, yeah. Just making sure. Yeah. Yeah. Like, no, because obviously it's just you own the seat, but
right,
then there's an additional.
Correct. Yeah, so you don't get all the tickets for free. No,
not for free, but yeah, there's not like a discounted price. So
well,
like,
I'm sure there's a season ticket holder discount, if you will.
Example,
you know.
A, Taylor Swift comes to Arrowhead.
You get the opportunity to buy your seat for those tickets.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. Here comes the text line.
I know. That's what I'm interested to see. You know, what folks are going to say. I know it's probably going to lean very negative towards this, and I understand that. Nobody wants to pay more for anything at this point in time, especially when they view stadiums as, you know, billionaires getting these free buildings and things of that nature, which, you know, the state does pay a lot of money for this kind of stuff, and rightfully so. So I understand the pushback. I mean, I'm not a huge PSL fan, but I also understand this is now the cost of doing business in professional sports, and really has been. Like, when they built that dome in St. Louis, they were charging people PSLs, and that was in the 90s.
I'd have gone, ran far away from that place. this is from our buddy Cam. He says, just a bummer that a lot of lifelong football season ticket holders will be priced out of going to games in the future by the outrageous prices of these PSLs.
We say that, but they will be priced based on location inside the stadium. There's going to be obviously some very expensive ones. There's going to be obviously some cheaper ones. It just depends on kind of where you sit. And from what I understand, the way it goes is that all the expensive ones and all the cheap ones sell out immediately.
Oh, yeah.
And then it's like you got to funnel it down to the middle. And then like the middle class, you know, those are the ones that take a little bit longer to move on. But I get it from Cam, man. I totally understand that. And that's the feedback that the Chiefs are going to get. And that's the feedback that the Chiefs are going to have to, you know, kind of, you know, figure out their way through and, you know, tell people why this is a good deal if they were to have this in a new stadium.
And you said there'll be a press release at around 10
o'clock today.
Right, we're off the air.
Right. Yeah. this group CSL is putting it out around 10 o'clock today, and people, like a couple hundred thousand people are going to be asked to take the survey. So it's a big, big, big survey.
CSL, PSL, DSL.
That's right.
I don't know. Dell computers, remember those?
Dude, you got a Dell.
Sorry, Mac, we're old.
Hey, we got a Mac.
Yeah, we upgraded.
We got rid of the Dell and got a Mac.
Hey, coming up on the other side, Travis Kelce, I love it, and also some all pro names that will, I guess we'll see if they're respected or not. Bob Fesco, Mac Morey, we got a Mac and a Dusty here on 96.5 The Fan, your own for Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your new home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Diving right back into it here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City Sports, your home for Mac Morey, your home for Bob Fesco, your home for Carrington Harrison, your home for Rob Breton, Drew Nixon, Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, and I'll put myself last because I'm humble. Humble and hung. I'm kidding. Just kidding. The college football playoffs tonight. We'll dive into that a little bit later. As we get, what is it? There's three college football games left on the year.
That's it.
And then we're done, baby.
Well, there's some bowl games, but senior bowl type things where you watch all the prospects. Binkley will be watching that kind
absolutely
of stuff.
Absolutely. That's when you, what Mac just say, work smarter, not harder.
Well, hey, Binkley's never learned that.
But that's where we come in because we know who our college football insider is.
That's
hey, Binkley,
right.
Who should I be looking for in this game tonight? Well, there's this guy. Let me tell you about this guy over here. He's a quarterback. I did see that. What is his name? Milton from Tennessee.
In that
game against New England and Buffalo last week.
Yeah, yeah.
Second hardest pass thrown all year.
Oh, no kidding.
So he has that on his resume.
All right, that's
he's
cool.
He's the cannon.
But if you throw it that hard, how many people are like, Kadarius Toney's not holding on to a pass from that dude?
Never, right? He gets a lot of play in the documentary.
Oh, does he? Kadarius Toney.
Yeah, because he said, Kadarius. I told you he was going to catch a touchdown in the game. Yeah.
Which game are we talking about?
The Super Bowl game.
I didn't know you were talking about the offsides game.
Yeah, dude. No, he does bet 80 stacks on that game.
You guys love the higher lower bets, right? When it comes to individual players and for tonight's game, here's what I'm doing on the Underdog app, okay? Mm-hmm. Here's what I'm doing. I got Riley Leonard higher than 166.5 passing yards. I've got Drew Aller lower than 10.5 rushing yards.
Ooh, okay.
And, because kneel downs at the end sometimes take, you know.
So you think this is a blowout?
I don't know that it's a blowout.
You think Notre Dame's got it in the bag?
I think, well, I conspire with Ben Maller on kind of a lot of this stuff when it comes to the TV. Like, who's going to watch Penn State? I mean, like, let's be honest, right? Notre Dame, I think, wins the game. Okay. I think Notre Dame wins the game. And then I got Jeremiah Love higher than a half touchdown, both rushing receiving combined, right?
That should be good.
That feels like a good one right there, mm-hmm. right? So that's what I did on the Underdog app. You can download the Underdog app in Missouri, too, Dusty.
Okay.
In Missouri, too. Oh, you can download the Underdog app, use promo code Bob, and deposit now and make your picks. I got the champions picks in right now, so I'm rocking and rolling. Let's see if I hit a $10 wager. It could win me $68.40 tonight.
There you go.
The magic number. Have you heard about this?
Huh?
I don't know. They're advertising the magic number Tuesday, January 14th on the Chiefs YouTube channel.
Oh, I got a press release on that yesterday too. Yes. Yes. Cool. Another video that they're putting out there. They're kind of becoming a TV station.
Yeah. I mean, might as well.
Yeah.
Strike while the iron's hot.
You got to cash in right now because you ain't gonna fly close to the sun that long. You know,
two things here, kind of involving Cincinnati. There's Travis Kelce audio. I'm sure a lot of you heard it yesterday about what he had to say about the Chiefs not wanting to play Cincinnati. But also, there's now video on Twitter of Cincinnati watching the Buffalo Chiefs game.
How good was that?
I mean, depends on how ruthless you are. But they're like melting as the game's going on. Like,
yeah, I don't.
They
care.
Just see their fate. Like, you know, whatever. But
nothing more than I hate than a Cincinnati fan,
mm-hmm.
and nothing more than I hate than a whiner about their lot in life. And that is what a Cincinnati fan is, a loser that complains about his lot in life.
Okay, fair enough. But Travis Kelce said something in this audio clip that we'll play for you here that I've been saying my entire life. And there are two different people when it comes to playoff runs. There are people that are like, give me the easiest route. I don't care. Just let me get there. Right? Like this year, I think it would be like you would hope that obviously Buffalo will take care of business against Denver, and then Houston takes care of business against the Chargers, and then Pittsburgh loses to Baltimore. Right? That would be that way. Right? Or I guess if you want the easiest route, Pittsburgh
beats Baltimore.
Then you would play Pittsburgh.
Right.
And then Houston would go play Buffalo, and Buffalo would lose to Houston, and then you would play Houston AFC Championship game,
exactly.
And you walk right to the Super Bowl.
And then people go, the Chiefs get an easy route.
Well, that's not our fault. Yeah, we just won our games that we were supposed to win. I've always been on the side of, I don't want any doubt. Like, go beat them all. Like, beat the big teams. This was what Travis Kelce had to say to those people that said that they just mailed it in because they didn't want to see Cincinnati in the playoffs.
The Chiefs also clinched the number one seed in the AFC, resting their starters, or the majority of them, in Week 18. There's some people alleging that it was a purposeful...
I ain't scared of nobody. I wanted them in the playoffs. I want to slay every dragon one by one, like Mortal Kombat. I don't even want this to be like we play the lowest seed. Just give me the best teams. AFC, NFC. Give me all of them, Mortal Kombat style. I'll go through every one of them, giving them my best effort.
You didn't want to see the Bengals in Burrowhead or in Cincinnati.
I'll play them at the Walmart parking lot. Listen, I love competing against the greatest. The Bengals were a fun team to watch there. Jeez, towards the end of the season. It's a shame they didn't make it in the playoffs, because it would have made the playoffs that much crazier and that much more fun.
I mean, Burrow put up over 4,000 something yards. Like, it was something crazy. He had a great year. Chase and T.
That was one of the wackiest years of football I've ever seen from a team that I thought was 10 times better than what their record showed. I know that just playing against them. We didn't throw any game. Guys were out there competing their off, trying to get a win. It wasn't a fun game to be a part of. And I'm just sitting here on the sideline like, hey, boys, don't let ruin our mojo. It's go time. We got to flip that switch and know we're the biggest, baddest team out there.
Such a naughty mouth.
I know, really, it is. And I like it. I can't say I don't hate it. It's great.
So I agree a lot with what he has to say there, because I like that sort of mentality. I think in this playoff run, I'm going to try to stay as humble as possible, because, you know, in years past, I don't care who it is. Like he said, Walmart parking lot, we'll play you whoever. It's like the Michael Beasley quote. Like, we'll play him here, play him there, play him Africa. We don't care where we play him, we'll play him. And I do like that, and I'm glad that that's kind of like their mindset. Like, they're ready for it. I'm going to sit back and watch and let them kind of let their action show and kind of just defend what I watch on television in the games. But, like, I love that sort of mentality from one of your biggest leaders, probably the second biggest leader on your team. I would say that the rank would probably go Mahomes, Kelce, Jones, right? I think that's obvious.
I think that sounds obvious right now. Yeah, but, I mean, who knows? Maybe Travis is the biggest voice in that locker room. He has been around the longest, right? James Winchester, maybe. But other than that, I don't know that there's any longer tenured chief than Travis Kelce, right?
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing about this is that, like, it's not Cincinnati. Maybe there's a couple people in Cincinnati saying this, that like, hey, we wish we could have gotten in. Well, beat New England in week one at home and you would have never had to deal with this. Yep. Or, you know, don't lose to team X in week three or whatever it was when they started off. I think, what did they start off? 0-3, then 1-4 or whatever it was. And I do love this sort of attitude because, you know, there are two people on the side of the fence. You want the easiest route, you want the toughest route. But like, I was with like, I mean, maybe Mac, where like, I don't know. Like he, you know, we had that discussion where you'd rather play Denver than Cincinnati, probably. But like, you'd have buried it, or as like he just said, you'd have defeated that dragon if you'd have beaten Cincinnati this year in the playoffs. Say you play them in the divisional round, you know, next week, or if they were in the playoffs and you beat them in Arrowhead, then it's like, okay, now you have nothing to argue about. Now you have nothing to say because you haven't won in almost two calendar years. And you lost to get in the playoffs. You can't beat Mahomes. There was an anomaly of a game in the postseason where Mahomes had the worst second half of his life. And now you're playing the Chiefs again and you would have lost. Again, it's not the Chiefs' fault. It's not like they tanked so that you wouldn't get in. They went 15-2. They did their job. They knew it was on the line. A three-peat. What's the easiest route to a three-peat that you could possibly play? Every game at home that you could possibly play, and that's what the Chiefs did.
They did, and again, I can't believe we're still sitting here on a Thursday after this game, and people are still having these thoughts about the Chiefs potentially throwing a football game. And again, that's the problem that I have with a lot of things right now in this world, is that we want to blame everybody else for why we're not doing what we want to be doing. Instead of looking inside, looking in the mirror, taking personal responsibility and saying, what could I have done better? It's just easy to blame everybody else. It's just easy to say, well, it's his fault, it's their fault, it's her fault, it's that fault, it's this fault. Instead of just looking in the mirror and going, you know what? We lost four of our first five games. We effed ourselves from the beginning. The only win that the team in Cincinnati had going into the month of October was a win over a Carolina Panther team, which at the time was one of the worst teams in the NFL. They beat them by 10 points. That was their only win. They lost to New England. They lost to Kansas City. They lost to Washington. Two of those three losses to start the season were at home. Two of those losses, New England, to a coach that got fired at the end of the season because he was clearly in over his head. You start to see the stories that are coming out now. Gerard Mayo was a man that was probably not in the right job, okay? And that's okay. And they recognize and they move on.
And their owner's a mustard guy.
Yeah, exactly. No question. And so you lose to New England in the first week of the season. And then in the third week of the season, you lose to Washington. And at that point in time,
playoff team.
Yes, but in week three, you're Cincinnati, they're Washington.
Well, that's the game that put Daniels on the map.
Exactly. Yeah. But again, you're Cincinnati, they're Washington. You need to win that game, okay? I don't care that they're a playoff team now and you're not. In week three of the NFL season, nobody was believing in Washington. Nobody knew anything about them. They were going to be an also-ran this season. You were Cincinnati, and you were coming off two straight losses to start the season, and that's how you rebounded against Washington. So enough with the Chiefs didn't play the right players. The Chiefs went out there, laid their own groundwork, blazed their own trail, and took advantage of the trail that they blazed with the hard work that they put in. And they took advantage of of their labor and their hard work and their successes. The Cincinnati Bengals didn't do that, and it's easier to blame everybody else instead of looking in the mirror and going, what did I do wrong? And what you did wrong was losing three at the beginning of the year to two really bad teams, and then towards the end of the year, the middle of November, you lose at Baltimore, you lose at Los Angeles, you lose at Pittsburgh. Those are three straight losses right there. You can't do that during the course of an NFL season and expect to be in the playoffs. So quit your bitching, shut up, and get back to the drawing board and see if you can get back next year and play with the cool kids. Because right now you're sitting at the nerd table.
Yeah, I mean, because what is Cincinnati? I mean, I think that's like, if anything, like the Chiefs should have gotten like a care package from Buffalo.
Yeah,
like that ought to be the team that's like, yeah, we're lucky Cincinnati didn't get in because. I would have loved to see that game. I think that would have been probably your primetime game, right? if Buffalo and Cincinnati played, that probably would have been whatever night's the most popular, probably what, Sunday at 2:30
again? Right,
like,
yeah.
That would have been the game that everyone would have had their attention on. But again, that's why it's so important. Like, you look at the board over there, there's two red score lines on there, which means that those are losses.
Mm-hmm.
One has an asterisk by it because it's week 18 because nobody played. One of them was against Buffalo, which is a legitimate loss. But right. Again, you beat Cincinnati in the regular season, whether it was by one or whether it was by 11, you still won that game. And that's why every game matters in a short sample size of a season. Because then you go back and you look at the schedule. You're like, because the NFL season kind of reminds me of, like, you know, your round of golf, where, like, let's say I go out there and I shoot 85. You know, that's about average for me.
That's pretty damn good.
It's good. I mean, I need to get better as much as I play. But, you know, there's still some times where I go out there and I shoot like a 90. And I'm like, that could have been an 86. Why? Because, you know, I duffed a shot on hole 3. That cost me a stroke.
Yeah.
I missed a putt on hole 7. That cost me a stroke. I, you know, went out of bounds. I had to take a drop. That cost me a stroke. There's three different strokes right there on the scorecard that were unnecessary. You, Cincinnati, you know, went out of bounds in week 2. You duffed your drive in week 7.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, the final 3 or 4 holes of the round, you went par, par, birdie, par.
Great.
Yeah, that looks good. But when you take the scorecard and zoom out, you're like, this could have been a lot better if I'd have taken advantage of earlier times. And that's what happened to Cincinnati. And that's...
They were like plus 10 after the first 3 weeks of the season. You're not recovering from that. No matter how good you are the rest of the way, you laid in your start. And if you're going to go 0-3 to start the season, you probably shouldn't lose another game the rest of the way.
Somebody from the 816 says a Cincy player watching the game saying, please, yeah. And the whiniest voice is epic. Anyway,
but here's the other thing to put this into perspective for all you Bengal nitwits out there.
Oh.
In the month of September, the Cincinnati Bengals had more losses than the Chiefs had the entire year.
Damn.
What does that tell
kiss
you?
Kiss my ass? I don't know what else to say. I can't use the words that Travis did.
But Max got to get that beep going.
I'd like to use the words that Travis says, but, like, the Chiefs have been on top, and they're 15-3 under Patrick Mahomes in the playoffs. Do you think they're really scared of anybody?
I mean, I think there's teams that give you that little bit of, like when we watch, like, whenever the Chiefs play Buffalo, there's always a little knot in my stomach I don't know, man. I don't know.
But that's us. I'm talking about them.
Yeah.
That speech by Travis Kelce was like, that's what you needed to hear this week if you're on the Chiefs, if you're in Chiefs Kingdom. Like, that right there, what Travis Kelce had to say, is everything I need to know. Because I'm sure there are some fans and who, because I've heard from them. Too much time off. Last week you were saying we needed a bye. Now you're saying there's too much time off. Mm. Oh, that loss, 38-0 to Denver, is that going to screw things up? And, oh my God, they needed to play to keep themselves fresh. And all this nonsense that's out there. That speech from Travis Kelce is all you need to know. This team's going to be ready to go on Sunday when they play this football game against whoever the opponent may be. They're going to be ready to go. And then look out AFC Championship game. Because I think now, based on what the hell's been going on with people saying the Chiefs are laying down and giving up and not given their best effort in week 18 against the Denver Broncos. Okay, you want our best effort? Let's go. And we'll show you our best effort. We got 3 games of our best effort coming up, and it ain't going to look good for everybody else out there.
Speaking of best effort, there are players that are voted on by their effort, which from my sports update on Twitter, which is Ari, he brings up, not Ari Gold.
Ari Meyerhoff. Yeah, yeah.
Not Ari Gold. Ari Meyerhoff. He has the graphic up. Players of the NFLPA, they vote on this for all pro team. Still no Trent McDuffie, the disrespect.
Mm-hmm.
But 3 Chiefs players. It was Joe Tooney, Creed Humphrey, and Chris Jones.
Mm-hmm.
Those are it. Those are the 3 all pros. Your quarterback was Lamar Jackson. Your tight end was Brock Bowers. Your receivers were the LSU guys. Your running back was obviously Saquon Barkley. Kyle Juszczyk was your fullback. By the way, his wife is making vests. You can buy one for $300.
Yeah. My wife was showing them to me the other night. She goes, like, how much do you think this is? I'm like, I don't know. $375.
Like, well, yeah. She's like, well, we didn't go to Hawaii. My birthday's coming up. You're like, well, we're going next year.
Yeah. This year.
Basically, yeah. Forget about that. So, again, I mean, not mad about the list. Just a little disappointed that Trent McDuffie doesn't make the list on the defensive side. So, again, 3 Chiefs, Creed Humphrey, Joe Tooney, and Chris Jones. Still 3 all-pro players on that roster, which is still pretty damn good.
Yeah, and what the cool thing about it is this one was voted on by the players. The next, like the AP NFL All-Pro team, that's voted on by, you know, your grizzled sports writers.
The same people that had Tyreek Hill as the best player in the NFL?
These are the players who had Tyreek Hill.
You know what the NFL top one has?
Yeah. But I do think it means more, though, like voted on. Like Tyreek Hill was coming off a pretty damn good season last year, right? Almost 2,000 yards and whatnot. Like he lit the world on fire. Then showed us true colors and, you know, had 17 kids.
It just needed to be said.
Best of luck moving forward, whoever's going to make a trade for Tyreek Hill if they decide to do that, because that guy's a great football player. I don't want him anywhere near my locker room, and the Chiefs showed you that. Great football player. We'll see you later, man. You need to go get your bag down in Miami so you can pay for your kids. So I look at the All-Pro list, and I think this is one where I think it's cool to make this list because you're voted on by your peers. I do. I think it's, I don't want to say better, but I think I think it means more when your peers look at you and say, yeah, this guy's one of the best or that guy's one of the best, because they're playing against you all the time. And to have three guys on this list, this is part of the reason why, as an organization, we're sitting here with a bye week. We've got three players on this list, and that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, you don't need Tyreek Hill anymore. Because he actually finally found his replacement after all these years, Xavier Worthy. This is from Matt McMullen from the Chiefs. Rookie NFL history, rookies with at least 6 receiving touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns. Last guy to do was Tyreek Hill in 2016. Xavier Worthy's the next guy to do it in 2024.
Just for the Chiefs or in NFL?
For the NFL.
Oh, wow.
Rookies in NFL history with at least 6 receiving touchdowns and 3 rushing touchdowns. Xavier Worthy, 2024. Tyreek Hill, 2016. Gail Sayers. Walker would be me on Saturday at about 11:45.
There is some award, the Doak Walker Award, but I don't know what it goes to. Okay. Somewhere Binkley's yelling at us, why do we know Doak Walker? Because he played 1950.
The Binkley.
Let me tell you something about Doak Walker. It's funny. The
Delaney's grandpa?
Could be.
Delaney Walker?
Yeah. The first three, is he still, he's not in the NFL anymore.
No.
That was like 20 years ago, right?
Not 20. It's like five or something.
No. Look it up.
I bet he's in the league 5 years ago, but I don't know if he was relevant. He was big in Tennessee for like, what, a year, 2 years? Shout out to the Mules. I mean, other schools too, but Delaney Walker was a stud at UCLA.
I mean, I can imagine that he just
loved Natty Light.
Run roughshod over the
2019. So I guess, yeah 5 years. Yeah.
5 years.
So that's the last time he played was
2019.
Yeah.
What was his team?
Yeah, Titans. Yeah, it was just 49ers, then the Titans.
Yeah, he was good.
He was great.
He was a nice player. I remember watching him going, man, I wish we had a guy like that. Oh,
well, we did. Would have been great to have him alongside Travis.
Right, but that's pretty cool, though, when you look at that list of the three players on the top of that list are all locals. I mean, two Chiefs and a Jayhawk. So,
that's right.
I mean, that's pretty wild that, you know, Xavier Worthy's up there, because I think if you were to ask people, just right now, who had the better rookie season, Tyreek Hill or Xavier Worthy? I think 99 out of 100 would tell you Tyreek Hill. I didn't realize Xavier Worthy put up that good of numbers this year.
I mean, total touchdowns as a rookie. I mean, just amazing.
That's insane, guys. No, like seriously, like that may be the most insane stat of the year, because it's hard to get double-digit touchdowns and double-digit sacks anymore in this league. The fact that this guy is a rookie put up 9, holy cow.
Didn't play week 18?
Yeah. Played actually a full season in the day, 17-game season. So now I think it's awesome. They finally found his replacement, and they've been trying, right? It was Mecole Hardman at one point, and it was Kadarius Toney maybe was going to be that guy. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, we could do 20 minutes on Xavier Worthy, because like that guy with his speed, because what was it Tyreek Hill in his first year was? He was doing sweeps. He was running the ball. Mm-hmm. What's Xavier Worthy done? Sweeps, ran the ball. What were some of the big routes Tyreek Hill ran? Goes.
Yeah.
Long slants over the middle where you could give him just a little bit of separation, go. And then the next year, it was like, oh, he's a solidified route runner. Like, now he can get more involved in the offense. You bring back Rashee Rice next year, you get Xavier Worthy back next year, and you take maybe one or two of these guys that are vets and Juju, which I don't think, but maybe DeAndre Hopkins, you're like, hey, and Hollywood Brown. I don't know when you can do it, but I would almost hammer an MVP award for Patrick Mahomes next year.
Yeah.
Because then everybody's checked off the books, right? Allen gets his. Lamar's had his.
Now we can give it to somebody who actually deserves it instead of who's next.
And you give Patrick Mahomes, Rashee Rice, Hollywood Brown, Xavier Worthy, and bring somebody back. Whether it's Juju, whether it's DeAndre Hopkins. I don't see how he doesn't throw for 4,500 yards.
And Travis Kelce probably.
And that offensive line's coming back, I would think. I would assume most everybody on that offensive line would be back.
Yeah, the Trey Smith one is still a question mark for me. But
I had to drive home, you know, thinking about that.
Yeah.
From the 785, just saw a shooting star. We're good.
Okay.
Have you ever seen a shooting star?
I don't know that I
really
have. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Man.
I've been outside lately because, you know, the driveway is the other side of the house from the backyard. So I've been out in the front yard lately trying to shovel at night and get all the ice up and all this kind of stuff. Do you guys have the app on your phone that you point it at the sky and it tells you all the stars that you're looking at?
Oh, yeah.
The planets that have been out over the last couple of weeks, you've seen Mars, you've seen Venus, you've seen Jupiter, the moon. It's incredible, this app on your phone. And I wish I knew the name of it off the top of my head. But you just go outside and point this thing at the sky, and it tells you exactly what you're looking at. Night sky.
That's really?
Hey, night sky.
I just were looking at it and be like, that's not a bull.
Yeah,
that's like a cluster of stars.
But it puts all the constellations together for you so you can see where they are. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. And on clear winter nights, man, you can see a lot up in that sky.
I do love this text from the 913. So much for Veach can't draft wide receiver criticism. So, yeah.
Is Cody still on that?
Was he?
I don't know.
Okay. 6-game suspension for Rice next season? No.
6?
I think he's going to get 2.
I was going to say the same thing.
I think they're going to give him 2 because I think they're going to be like, well, he lost the entire season the year before due to injury. Hasn't gotten any trouble, stayed out of the limelight, you know, just whatever.
I was almost thinking, like, maybe Goodell forgets who he is.
No, come on. You know, he doesn't. He looks in the mirror every day and goes, gosh, dang it, you're good looking. What's it, Stuart Smalley?
I'm wonderful and people love me.
Something like that. That's what Goodell does.
Does Mac know who Stuart Smalley is?
No, no chance. Negative. We'll come up on the other side. The dynasty evolution. I want to bring that up on the other side because what has this Chiefs dynasty meant for not just the team, but for others outside of it involved? We do that on the other side on Fesco and Dusty on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for Mac Morey.
Fesco and Dusty.
I can feel it all the way down in my plums.
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.
That's no moon. That's a space station from the text line. Also from the text line on the 816, know this date. Because I've put this on the calendar at the house. On the 25th, several planets will be visible and in a line in the sky.
Yeah, they pretty much are lined up right now. Like, you look at the moon, and then you just kind of go, the way I was looking at it last night, I was looking in the, I guess it would be in the eastern sky. You saw the moon, and Mars was starting to kind of come up over the horizon, and so they all kind of lined up last night. But every night, it changes. It's different. You got to go out there and check it out. So when you're scraping that ice, just look up at the sky, man. See what's up there. There's a lot going on in a winter sky right now.
No doubt about it. Still praying for the people in California.
Yeah, man. What a bad deal. I watched a lot of that yesterday.
The Hollywood Hills are on fire now.
Yeah.
Did you see the photo of Hollywood, the sign, and then behind us just flames?
Oh, I did not see that one. Yeah, I do.
Yeah. It's almost cool, but I feel bad saying that.
Yeah, wow, that looks like a movie. It really does. Like, what's going on out there?
Escape from L.A. with Snake Plissken.
Yeah.
Now, I know you haven't seen that, Mac, and that's okay, but you should watch those Kurt Russell movies because they're awesome. Escape from L.A., baby. Snake Plissken.
But it's scary because, obviously, people don't know what to do. And we talked to Ben Maller earlier. You'll hear our conversation coming up at 7:15. He's out
recording
there.
Started.
His wife has been at work since Tuesday.
She said she slept on a couch.
Yeah, she works in law enforcement out there. So she's in Pasadena, I think. And so she's been out at work since Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And you could tell this morning, like, Ben just was not his usual kind of, like, you know, joking around, having fun, because I think there's a lot of fear out there because nobody knows where the wind's going to go, how the fires are going to go, what's going to happen. And I was watching some of the video yesterday and seeing some of these streets. It looks like Pompeii. I'm like, oh my God. Like, it looks like an abandoned city out there right now.
Did you guys study Pompeii in elementary school?
I went to Pompeii about 20 years ago, and it was intense, man, like crazy. That's what L.A. looks like right now.
It's tough. Yeah.
Scary.
Yeah. My buddy said he has family out there and that his aunt or whoever it was checked in on Facebook as safe, which I was like, power Facebook, I guess. Like, you know, you're all right. But I was like, does she plan on getting out?
Right.
Like, because, I mean, I'm sure it's chaos.
I saw a story this morning about one of the 5 people that have died already, you know, in these wildfires.
I know this sounds facetious. Only 5 people have died?
That's okay. Right. That's the amazing thing. It's okay. only been I mean, it's five people.
Terrible that those five people are no longer with us, right. but the fact that it's only been five.
Right, which means people are getting out. And so Hell this yeah. family was looking for their father, grandfather, you know, whoever, and they finally found the body
oh.
in front of his house with the garden hose still in his hand.
Trying to put the fire
trying
out.
To put it out, man.
Oh, that's tough.
How sad is that? Oh, like, man. My heart just broke. I saw this man's picture, not the you know, the one
charred.
With the, but like who he was, and I'm like, oh my God, this guy was trying to save his house, and now he's dead with the garden hose still in his hand. Are you kidding me? This is what's going on out there right now.
I mean,
so we're complaining about snow.
Yeah, exactly.
That stuff's going to be mm-hmm. melted. We didn't lose our homes. Mm-hmm. So many, and then State Farm canceling insurance on people 4 months ago because they just knew wildfires were going to come. They didn't have the money to pay or whatever it was. So now a lot of these folks don't even have homeowners insurance because the damn insurance companies canceled on them.
So they're not a good neighbor.
Apparently not.
Yeah, so, you know, keep that in your thoughts. As if you do know anybody in California, hopefully they're doing okay. Dynasty Evolution. This is something that I thought of yesterday. When you think about this Chiefs run and what's changed for you as a fan in the past 5 years as a fan? Like, how do your – because, like, I know there's a lot of people out there that are superstitious. I'm not really superstitious. I'm just a little stitious. Mm-hmm. And shout out Michael Scott. And I think that, you know, everybody kind of, like, the first go-around – like, you were talking about when you and Josh did the show at Rally House, and it was just a madhouse because nobody really knew. Like, you didn't know what you were going to get yourself into. Chiefs are in the Super Bowl, first time ever – and a lot of people's lifetime, and you're like, I don't really know how to celebrate this. And then, you know, you had the downfall against Tampa. You went right. to the second Super Bowl. You're 1-1, whatever. And then you win another one, and then you go to another one. And now you're going on potentially going to a third straight.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, like, how your fandom has changed. Like, do you have a personal place that you go? Is there a friend's house you go to? Last year on After Hours, I asked the same question, kind of, and people were like, the first one, big party, but I didn't like it because I couldn't really feel the moment. I couldn't mm-hmm. really watch the game. Kids are running around or, you know, there's one people that are like, yeah, it's the Super Bowl. I just want to see the commercials. And then a lot of people found out that since they get to do it often, they're going to do it at their house with their family
right.
and watch it. Or there's people that are superstitious. They're like, last year we were at Tyler's house and they won. We're going back to Tyler's house. They won it again the next year. We're going back to Tyler's house to watch it again. This is one of those things where it's like, as we evolve into this dynasty, like, what is your sort of 913-586-7965? What is, like, how have you evolved watching the Super Bowl or watching playoff games when it comes to the Chiefs?
When was the last time you actually went to a Super Bowl party and didn't pay attention to the game?
Second half of the Tampa Bay game.
Okay, so you're saying even with the Chiefs involved. I was thinking about,
because I would have said the Rams Patriots.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did you watch that game though?
Yeah, but loosely.
Yeah,
like,
right.
Because I was so frustrated on how that second half ended in the AFC Championship game where I was like, they didn't really beat them. They just kind of beat themselves. And, like, something just was off in the second half. So I was like, I don't really care. And then I was just like, I just hope Aaron Donald, or I'm sorry, not the Rams, but or not the Patriots, the Rams and the Bengals.
That's right, what right. I was thinking. Yeah, you were saying
I was like,
too.
I was like, I just hope Aaron Donald gets his ring. And then it ended perfectly because he's like, give me my ring. And then he's out in a blaze of glory, you know, right. doing his thing. But yeah, I mean, that's the last time.
So I even go back further than that. I would say the year prior to Patrick Mahomes being the starter in Kansas City, and they lost that game to the Titans, right? On that stupid Derek Johnson penalty that they called, and the Marcus Mariota throwing the touchdown to himself, and Revis Island.
Off to Ralph Revis' face.
Like, Revis is like just standing there, whatever. So, like, that year is the last time I think we had a quote unquote true Super Bowl party, if you will, where mm-hmm. you're just, the game was on, but you're there because of the party, right? It was a thing to do. You really weren't dialed into the game.
Right.
And then we had the Chiefs losing to the Patriots. And then the Patriots beating the Falcons year?
That was a 28-3.
Was that the 28-3 game?
Mm-hmm.
You couldn't really enjoy that game because you were like still kind of hungover from the loss. And then you get there and you win, and then you get there and you lose. And then that Rams-Bengal game, like, I remember sitting on the couch with that game on, barely paying attention because I was, you know, ticked off and whatnot. So, I mean, since Patrick Mahomes has been the starter, we have not had the quote-unquote true Super Bowl party where everybody just gathers and watches the Super Bowl because we've either been in it or we got knocked out in the AFC Championship game and we don't want anything to do with it. So I think it's evolved a lot, And that's been almost a decade now since you could gather and just have the game on and not really pay attention to it or have a rooting interest in it because of the successes that we've had here in Kansas City.
Because you've been in Tennessee, so how have you kind of consumed the Super Bowl? Just like buddies around the town, or do you just kind of watch it by yourself since you're the only Chiefs fan there?
Well, I've got my brothers there. I've got my dad there. So we hunker down. We get together. You know, my friends liked it. They enjoyed watching that first Super Bowl win with me. And then lately, they don't really enjoy watching the games as much anymore with me. So yeah. I guess they're not liking these winning seasons as we are. But yeah, I mean, dude, yeah, I was like an every February I tell my work, be like, hey, probably going to take the Monday after the Super Bowl off because I'm going to go hard. That was like a yearly thing. And now that will not be a thing this year because we're going to be working, baby.
Yeah,
it's going to be fun.
Yeah, that's the other thing. I mean, our job is, you know, going on as the Super Bowl is going on, which is great. That's outstanding. But
I can't wait.
I think, you know, for my standpoint, you know, if the Chiefs somehow don't make a Super Bowl in the next 10 years, do you really care about that game?
No.
You know, we've gotten so conditioned to being there that when you're not, you're just like, meh.
Yeah, this stinks.
You know, like it stinks because if the Chiefs aren't there, it means they lost in the postseason to probably one of those teams that's in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and right now, I mean, it'd be an overtime and an AFC championship loss. That's why the Chiefs are in the Super Bowl. It's the only reason.
Yeah. Outside of the athletes and the owners and the coaches, who do you think's benefited most from the Chiefs dynasty?
Local bar owners. I really do. I mean, yeah. I know just how much money and how great business was during the Royals run. And now, that's obviously more games and every night, and it's packed. But I know when the Chiefs play versus if they have a bye week or something, the bar receipts are completely different at every tavern in town. Like, the local bar owners, local business owners, those are the folks that have really benefited over the Chiefs being in the Super Bowl and being this dynasty.
I would say fake Andy.
He's benefited, yeah.
He definitely has.
Yeah.
Because, like, if they sucked,
I mean, you don't see any,
dude,
like,
what are you doing?
You don't see any fake, you know, Luana Rumos walking around.
Yeah. And terribly sorry to the 816. 2018 was not the 28-3 game. It was 2017.
Yeah, 2018, I think, was the Eagles.
Yeah.
Oh, was that the Philly special game?
Yeah. Because the Pats didn't go back-to-back.
Yeah, sorry. Sorry that we got it out. We were wrong by a year. Or was it technically 2018 when they played the Super Bowl? It was the 2017 season.
That's right.
The Falcons? Yeah, that would have been before that.
Well, it says it on the internet right now that they played that game on February whatever, 2007. It just says 2000. It says, what happened at the 2017 Super Bowl? New England 34, Atlanta 28 overtime.
Oh, so yeah, the 2016 season, 2017
gotcha.
Super Bowl. Gotcha.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
Sorry, it wasn't 2018. So wrong.
Come on, your head out of your ass.
Yeah. Why don't you blow it out your ass, Bob? You are listening to Fesco and Dusty. Don't forget, we've made some playoff t-shirts. Thanks to our friends over at Gates Barbecue. So be on the lookout on how to get these next week. And don't forget to get Gates Barbecue for your tailgate or if you're watching at home this weekend. We come back on the other side. The Mahomes impact. We'll explain what that means here on Fesco and Dusty and Mac here on 96.5 The Fan, your home, Kansas City Sports.
You're listening to Fesco and Dusty.
What the hell's wrong with your station?
On Kansas City's FM sports station, 96.5 The Fan.